listening to The Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Hello again, Intelligentsia. John Jeffers here, your host of The Jeffers Brief, right here on Contra Radio Network. Welcome to another fun-filled episode, informative that it is, as we close in on the election. So again, welcome. All right, let's get started. Okay, in case some of you haven't noticed, I've been saying for the last 2 or 3 weeks that I was going to leave Facebook, and I did. Last night, I took the CRN Facebook group page, took it down, took off my personal page, and I have left Facebook. Gone. I have gone to 4 other platforms. So if you still want to stay in contact with Contra Radio Network and myself, you can go to these 4 platforms. You can go to MeWe.com. You can go to Parler.com. You can go to USA.life. And you can go to Mumblet.com. 4 different platforms. You can still follow me. I have left Facebook because of their impending policy change of October 1, which is coming up in a couple days. The reason that I left is because the policy states that they have complete control over anything you post that might pose a liability for them. Even so, no matter what it is, no matter how innocuous it is, if they don't like it, they can sit there, delete it under the guise of liability. So, it's really going to be up to you if you want to stay. If you do, that's great. That's up to you. Now, there is another page on there on Facebook. It's Contra Radio Network Broadcasting. That's Don Lowry's page. Now, I gave Don permission to use Contra Radio Network. What he does with it, that's fine. I trust Don. But if you want to go subscribe to that, you can. It's up to you. I wanted to let you know what was going on. Now, for listeners in the Netherlands, we're growing. We got more listeners in the Netherlands. Thank you so much. I'm humbled and grateful for it. Not to mention, we've got our listeners in Canada are growing as well. In the western provinces, but we've seen a big spike in Ontario. I'm going, wow, Ontario, really? I was kind of surprised. But we're grateful for you, as well as we are for the listeners in Bahrain, India, Turkey. We even have one in Russia. Who knew? Who would have guessed, right? All right. Anyways, if I missed your country, Australia, I haven't forgotten you. Julian Vasquez in Australia, I have not forgotten you, my friend. I apologize if I didn't, get your country in. I'll try to do better next time. So, now let's get started. You know, there are 2 types of people you're going to run across in your prepper and patriot group. Now, there's these 2 types, and they'll break down to subtypes after that. But when I talk about 2 types of people, you leaders are going to have to deal with these people. And how you deal with it is up to you. Because, the 2 types are you're going to deal with your shirkers. That's my name for them. The shirkers, and then you have the goose steppers. The shirkers are the people who will stay with you as long as things are good. As soon as you ask them something that might be dangerous or something they don't agree with, they're going to run away. They're going to take off. They're going to leave you. And they will do it at a time when you could really least afford for that to happen. Now, your goose steppers are the people who believe in the group, believe in the mission, and will attempt to do everything you ask of them. No matter how difficult or anything else, they will attempt to do it. Are they fanatics? Nah, that's gone a little bit too far. But they're believers. You can count on them. You can rely on them. So when I talk about the shirkers, And you know what kind of people I'm talking about. You know, you're dealing with the shirkers. These are the people that when you ask them to do something, for example, let's put it this way. You're in your bug out location, you got your group, and some people come on and somebody says, you know, I used to be an auto mechanic, or I'm an electrician, or I'm a plumber, whatever. Could be anything. The list of the trades or skills are long. But substitute any of those in there. And you figure, you know what? We could use some plumbing work, or we could use some electric work, or we got some vehicles that need some maintenance. You know, whatever the case may be. So you let them in. You take them in under your group. And they do their job. They've done what you asked them to do. Things are good. But eventually, either the plumbing will come up to where you need it, electricity will be where you need it, vehicles will be maintained, they're right where you need it. So you're not going to need them to imply or work their trade or skill all the time. So you ask one of these people, I need you to go on patrol with, whatever, wherever. And they say, I'd like to, but I rolled my ankle this morning and I just can't quite keep up. Well, that's strike one. Not that it's not legitimate. So as a leader, you go, okay, fine. We'll get somebody else. Second time around next week or the next day or the other day, whatever. You ask the person, hey, look, I need you to set up an observation post for me. Just go there, go to this spot, top of the hill. You don't have to do anything. Call in if you see something. Tell us what you see. Whatever. And they say, little Johnny had sniffles. I really got to keep an eye on him. That's strike two. You got a shirker on your hands. And the moment that you really need them to step up is the moment that they run away. They take off. Make sure they do not leave with your supplies. If they leave with what they came with, God love you, have at it. But you're not taking anything from the group. All right, those are your shirkers. Then you have your goose steppers. And I know it's just a word I came up with, all right? These people are going to be loyal to you. Like I said, you ask them to go set an observation post, and you're going to have to pick which ones go because they're all going to be raising their hand. Oh, I'll do it. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? They won't let you down. Not intentionally. They won't. So, you got to be careful, leaders, with your goose steppers, because many times they will act on your behalf without asking you, without you knowing it, thinking they're doing you a favor. For example, the goose stepper finds out the shirker has, come up with another lame excuse. So he goes, either beats the hell out of the person, or they grab the person, his family, and they out the front gate, all right? Not that it's not warranted, but you didn't ask for that. As a leader, you must be able to maintain your authority. You cannot delegate your authority capriciously. That is, I know what they did, it's okay. You really can't do that. Now, is it bad? Did they act wrongly? Probably not. But it still remains. You didn't ask them to do that. Now, leaders, both Patriot and Prepper groups, you guys are going to have to understand something. You're going to have to deal with children. If not your own children, somebody else's children. They will be at your bug out location. You're going to have to deal with it. So prepare for it. Know about that it's coming around. All right. Don't worry about it. Believe it or not, kids are cheap labor and they got unending energy. You just got to keep them focused. If you need for them to dig foxholes or trenches, here, go play over here and dig and dig and dig. Let them do it. Make it into a game. They're great laborers. They don't tire out as easy as adults. All right. Okay, look. When we come back, we're going to do part two of guerrilla warfare. I know a lot of you have been kind of looking forward to it. We're going to do part two when we come back from here. Please stick around for some of our messages. I would appreciate it. Where am I? What do I want to do? Let me think here. Yes. Stick around. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
Hi, this is Sydney from Trividily, and I want to tell you about a new team system that CRN is doing. You see, we are going to build a team of like-minded individuals who can learn how to earn an income right from the comfort of home. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then let's do something about it. Maybe you're stuck in a 9-to-5 rut, or maybe you just want to make a few extra dollars on the side. You see, it really doesn't matter what the reason is. What matters is the drive and determination. Let us show you how you can join us, build a team, and make a few extra bucks while we're at it. You can even test drive it for free. Log on to www.earn.contraradionetwork.com. Watch the video, fill out the form, and become an action taker today. Remember, www.earn.contraradionetwork.com. Do it now.
Tired of getting censored on social media? Are you noticing less traffic to your business page or profile? Solve it by joining mumbleit.com today and experience true free speech social media. Join for free at www.mumbleit.com. Experience real freedom today.
Life is unpredictable, but you can count on Valley Food Storage to help you and your family prepare. With clean, natural, great-tasting, and long-lasting food storage, with our natural and nutritious freeze-dried food, you'll be storing the food you love to eat. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com and click on the Valley Food Storage banner.
Okay, let's get going back. Welcome back. Where are we? All right. Part two of guerrilla warfare. Let's talk about the tactics of it. Last week we talked about what it really is and how it works. To start, it should be noted that guerrilla warfare is different from merely surviving in an urban terrain. As a guerrilla, one has a goal past survival. That is, survival is still necessary. So to begin, you should first understand how to get food, water, and shelter. All right. Once survival is covered, a guerrilla force can begin to conduct offensive operations. Now, the main goals of any guerrilla operation before, let me stop something here. I'm not advocating this as an insurrection model. This is an academic study. We're just glossing over some of the things. But again, not advocating that you go out and do something illegal. If you do something illegal, you do so on your own. I've got nothing to say or do about it. I have told you, do not do something illegal. All right? So if you choose to go out and do something illegal, well, that's on you, not me. Do not blame me. You've been warned, I've been told. And nobody at Contra Radio Network expects you to go out and do this. If you, again, choose to do something illegal, engage in an illegal activity, and get caught, it's on you. Not me, not Contra Radio Network, not John Jeffers, nobody. All right, let's got that off the hook. I will not be held accountable for your actions. Right. So, the main goals of any guerrilla operation will be to cause damage through sabotage, ambush, or theft. Guerrillas do not win through capturing territory, but mainly by increasing the cost in lives and material for the enemy, whoever that may be. So let's talk about small unit organization. Guerrilla forces in dense urban environments almost always employ small unit tactics. This structure is probably easiest explained using the IRA as an example. While there's an overarching organization and command structure, They are usually only in direct contact when designating a high-priority target or mission. Typical local commanders in charge of multiple firearms, multiple fire teams, that's not the term they use, will decide day-to-day operations. An IRA fire team is generally made up of four guerrilla operatives who know each other but have no natural, which is no family or neighbors, connection. This allows for a deal of trust but makes it more difficult to track their origins. There's a reason you always hear about terrorist cells, small independent units that know enough to conduct their mission, but not enough to jeopardize those in charge or allied forces should they be captured. These groups are provided enough supplies and leadership to allow them to operate effectively with little outside input. So let's talk about stealth, blending in, and route planning. Unpredictability, blending in, stealth movements are necessary. All right, so avoid distinct clothing, using the same routes, and if possible, vary the locations you are returning to. Study your local area. Even if you are a local and know multiple routes to and from the most essential sites, the most direct way, especially when the possibility of surveillance or tail is possible, is often not the best one. The same general concept comes from barricading and fortifying your home. You want to ensure that if anyone tries to enter your building, they are slowed and dissuaded, but you don't want security measures to draw undue attention. It is better to be out of sight than to be in a hard target when dealing with overwhelming force. So when you are considering a good observation post or a place to stay, be aware of what the walls are made out of and whether or not the building is providing any ballistic protection. And don't be seen until you plan to be, and disappear back into the city as soon as you arrive. You know, one of the things, as I digress here, Yasser Arafat, if you remember him from the PLO, he never slept in the same place twice. That's true. Think about it. And look how long he survived. But let's get back to it. As basic as it sounds, part of this will be learning how to move in an urban environment with your required gear tactically. You can find photos from military manuals that operate tactically in an urban environment requires a different way of moving and thinking. Well, it would be. So let's talk about urban structures and associated tactics. Buildings and cities provide a much different challenge than the ones found in a more natural environment. Using buildings that have long fields of fire, allowed for good concealment and a fast egress, can greatly enhance the effectiveness and lifespan of a guerrilla team. Combatants should avoid apparent places like church steeples and rooftops, but should remain as concealed as possible in an area with light traffic. To put it simply, urban environments provide innumerable opportunities to think outside the box and use the terrain to your advantage. And I gotta tell you something, if you've had military training like myself, you'll remember about urban environments are the most difficult environments to fight in. Whether offensive or defenses, they're just notoriously known for chewing up manpower and material. So, the urban environment can also offer complications and difficulties for certain operations, let's face it. So guerrilla forces must learn to utilize these unique environmental aspects to their advantage. Also understand the calibers of the typical weapons in the area and how well the buildings surround you will withstand that fire. Some structures may need to be reinforced with sandbags or bullet-resistant metals and materials. Now, you can and you should look into maybe further details for, say, defensive measures, booby traps, alarms, and maybe other urban tactics. They're out there. You just got to look for them. And they're not that difficult to find. They really aren't. So the one advantage that guerrilla forces have over traditional military ones is their ability to move quickly and strike surprisingly. A guerrilla must be able to get into and out of conflict before the enemy knows what is going on, and the guerrilla must be faster than the enemy should a chase ensue. Well-positioned egress vehicles and pre-planned routes will help to avoid encirclements. The only way the enemy can force a guerrilla band is into an unfavorable conflict. All right? That's how you do it. One tactic favored by guerrillas is called the minuet, named for the dance. Guerrillas encircle an enemy patrol, who then move to surround the guerrillas, only to find that they've been led into an even larger and sophisticated guerrilla ambush. You understand? So as it is described, small bands of men are presumably surrounded by the enemy when suddenly the enemy is surrounded by stronger contingents, or men located in safe place serve as a lure leading to the encirclement and annihilation of the entire troops and supply of an attacking force. Now, another way of employing the minuet is to have four or five small teams of men play keep away with the enemy patrol and force them to waste time, ammunition, stay immobilized, and become demoralized. And this is done by positioning small teams at the four compass points around an enemy force. Have one team ambush and engage the enemy. As the enemy engages this team, they withdraw. At the same time, another team initiates the attack from another point. Both groups repeat these actions, and you could have more than one group. You could go around the compass with it. Now, Che Guevara roughly described an example guerrilla attack as starting with surprise and fury, irresistible, and suddenly converts itself into total passivity. The surviving enemy believes the attacker has departed. He begins to relax when suddenly a new attack bursts forth in another place. Now, there are many variations of this style of ambush and associated hit-and-run tactics. But, as you can tell, these types of tactics can only be employed if the guerrilla forces are well-drilled and highly mobile. You got to have smart people doing it. A somewhat less mobile forces can make up for this by denying mobility to the enemy. You follow me? See what I'm saying? All right. Well, we'll continue this in a minute. I still have to get back. We still got to pay bills, guys. I'll save it for the end before I go crazy and really get nuts about it. All right, we'll be with you in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
At Stag Arms, there is no weak side. Our rifles are 100% American made, including each and every part assembled. We aim to provide recreational shooters, law enforcement officers, hunters, and professional shooters with super quality and competitively priced rifles. Every rifle shipped is built to order. Check out Stag Arms now. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com and click on the Stag Arms banner.
This is the Contra Radio Network, CRN for all the right reasons.
Back. Glad you're here. Let's talk about denying mobility, shall we? Now, a city itself is an obstacle since it canalizes movements. field expedient obstacles such as cars, light poles, and so on can be quickly placed, and you can funnel enemy forces into planned lines of attack and ambush. Now, some basic tips for keeping a low profile in urban environments. Because operating a city will generally include extended periods of time when you are merely trying to get from A to B and must blend into the surrounding area. Most of these little tips are from advice given to embassy workers, but the principles remain the same. Avoiding observation and keeping a low profile will significantly enhance your lifespan. So how do we keep a low profile? Don't show off supplies, money, or luxury items. Avoid public disputes or shows of political opinion. That's going to be hard for some of you. Do not divulge information about yourself or your family to anyone, and avoid routines. Vary your route to work and other places. Exit buildings through different doors and at different times. Don't exercise alone. Some other tips for you. Control keys to access points strictly. Park your car in a locked garage. Shut the curtains in a room before turning on the lights. This is from Shea Guevara. It is necessary to distinguish clearly between sabotage, a revolutionary and highly effective method of warfare, and terrorism, a measure that is generally ineffective and indiscriminate in its results. Think about that. The brief summary is from UrbanSurvivalSite.com. This is where we got this. Thank you for letting us use it. This two-part series has looked briefly at guerrilla warfare and how it's conducted. Mobility is key, and hit-and-run tactics and sabotage are the methods with which to use for maximum results. Guerrilla forces must win over the populace while making further conflict too costly for the main military force. Now, as stated earlier, the main goals of any guerrilla operation will be to cause damage through sabotage, ambush, or theft. Guerrillas may not need to capture territory, but must increase the cost in lives and material for the enemy to the breaking point. That is, you make the price too high to continue on. Now, the specifics will change based on the politics and cultures involved, but much can be learned from looking at past examples. While the political viewpoints of most of the 20th century guerrillas are detestable, they are worth reading for the tactical insights they provide. And you know what? You may not like it, what they're talking about in terms of why they did it in the 20th century. Basically, it was, for promote communism and socialism. Some were successful. Many were successful in that. That doesn't mean we don't read it, we don't learn it. One of the things that, when I worked in the courts, the judge I was working for, he was a lieutenant commander in the Navy. And we would talk constantly about politics or military things, that kind of thing. One day he says, you watch Fox News, don't you? I said, well, yeah, don't you? He goes, no. I said, what? Why not? He said, because, now this is like 10, this is almost, it was 6, 7, about 10 years ago. And he said, because if you don't watch what the opposition is doing, if you don't hear it, you don't read it, you don't see it, how can you possibly react intelligently to it? Checkmate, I'm done. Thank you. Good point, Judge. Thank you very much. So my point is this. While we don't like Antifa, we don't like BLM, maybe you do, maybe you don't, I for one don't, you can still learn from their highly organized tactics. And yes, they are highly organized, make no mistake. We talked about this last week's episode of the Jeffers Brief. So if you're not sure, go back, listen to it again. All right. That's what I've got. I'm sure we're all going to be watching the debate tonight. That reminds me. My daughter sent me a picture. She's in Albania. Yeah, she's in Albania this week. Don't ask me why, but she is. She sent me a picture of her voting. Yeah, she's voting in Albania. She says, I got my ballot. I got to run to the embassy, drop it off, and so it could get sent in. I said, okay. But regardless, I wanted to put that out there. Now, some of you are saying, why are you monetizing Contra Radio Network? Well, I'm going to tell you why. For 6 years, I've asked for donations of $2 a month. I think maybe 8 people. Some gave a little more than 2. Most gave a little less. And the vast majority of you listeners gave nothing. Okay, fine. How about this? How about we do affiliate links? So we got stuff for preppers and patriots, affiliate links to different companies. You go through our website, you pop on the affiliate link, you buy whatever you need, and the company shares a small amount of money with us, Contra Radio Network. That didn't happen. Put for offer, Contra Radio Network shirts, items. I think 3 people did. 3. So, that's why we're monetizing Contra Radio Network. Phase 1 is complete. We are working on phase 2, which should be completed shortly. Now, we don't want to sit there and be hammered by us making the money. We want you to come with us. Make money with us. Why shouldn't you? I mean, how hard do you want to work for your money? I mean, you can work real hard for it. You can work real easy for it. You know, you think about the Wall Street guys. They have their money working for them. That's the whole idea. Think about it. But that's why. Is there anything else I need to talk to you guys about? Nope, I don't think so. All right, then. I appreciate you for listening. We'll see what happens on the debate. I myself will be listening, be watching to see if Joe Biden is wearing a hearing aid. He usually wears it in his right ear, I think. I think it's his right ear, I think. I don't think he wears a hearing aid all the time. And I would be in, and if I'm the opposition, if I'm the GOP, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to have a radio frequency scanner in there. Because if he's wearing one, I'm wondering if somebody is on the other side of that hearing aid giving him radio transmission, not a hearing aid at all, giving him the answers during the debate. And if I had a scanner and I could zoom in on that particular frequency, I would jam it. But that's me. Mr. Conspiracy Theory, that's me, right? Okay. Anyways, I'll be watching the debate tonight. We'll see what happens. I think we'll see a lot of emotional pleas coming out of Biden. I think Trump's going to go in there and just hammer the hell out of him. He should clean Biden's clock, but don't do it so bad that he ends up getting a sympathy vote because you were mean to him, and he's got cognitive, the mainstream media will never say he has cognitive deficiencies, but we all know he does. So, all right, that's it for me. I appreciate you listening. And like I said, we're on 4 different platforms. If you'd like to come, earn some money with us, please do. www.earn.contraradionetwork.com. Pretty easy stuff. All right, until next week, be safe, be alert, be vigilant. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network. Jeffers Brief saying thanks for listening.